You're listening to Financial Insights, a podcast that helps investors through the difficult maze of financial planning and saving for retirement. I'm Brian Ullman, and I'm a financial advisor and certified financial planner at Ford Financial Group. And together with some guests and other advisors at my firm, we're talking about the issues and questions relating to finance that face our clients every day. Thanks for joining us again. I'm happy to report that we have a familiar guest back talking with us again this week. The guest is Lena Fisher, the realtor with London Properties, who was with us a couple of weeks ago discussing tips for homebuyers, whether you're a new homebuyer or a homebuyer who hasn't gone through the process in quite some time. I think going back and listening to that episode would be a good idea. But for just like with stocks, for every buyer, there needs to be a seller. And so this week, we're talking with Lena about selling your home, some of the things that you need to do to sell your home and make sure that you are selling it in a way that one of the things that's always important is that you're selling it quickly or relatively quickly. You don't want to fire sell it, of course, but if it sits on the market too long, you probably have a problem on your hands. And so you also want to sell it at the right price and get what you need, because presumably you're using that money for something else, whether it's to move or buy a new house or whatever it is that you're doing. So hang tight. We'll dig right in with Lena Fisher from London Properties. Okay, welcome back to the Financial Insights Podcast. I'm very happy that we are rejoined with a guest that you heard a couple of weeks ago, Lena Fisher, who's a realtor here in Fresno. She is back. And last time, Lena, thank you for joining us again.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Last time we talked about home buyers, what was going on for new home buyers and starting the process and all of that stuff. If you haven't heard that episode, I would really encourage you to go back, because I think there's some very good information in there if you're thinking about buying a home. But there are two sides. Just like when you're doing your investments, there's buying and there is selling, right? And so most people need to sell their house if they're buying a house. So today we're talking about what needs to go on and what you need to consider when you're selling your house. And this is a little bit different discussion, I think, than we had last time. Lena, let's start from the top. You're thinking you've found a house, or you're thinking about moving, you got relocated maybe from your job, you want to switch schools, whatever the reason, you're thinking about selling your house. What would be your advice for people who are thinking about selling their house? What's the first thing you think they should do?
The first thing I think they should do is find the perfect realtor.
Okay.
And if you've purchased the house, you may have used a realtor. And mm-hmm. if you were happy with that realtor,
mm-hmm. maybe go
and
back
you
there.
Believe in them, go back there, you know. Yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But if you weren't happy, or if you haven't heard from your realtor since you purchased the house, you know, you may want to reconsider, you know, another flavor.
Sure.
You know, when I sell a home to somebody, I mean, it's, as we mentioned in the last podcast, one of your most valuable assets.
Right. So it's a big deal that it gets done right.
It's a big deal. So when my buyers buy their home, I treat it probably like you do with your clients. I would assume that you give them financial statements.
Yep.
So I do the same. So I do biannual property reviews, so that my clients know what's going on in their neighborhood and, you know, roughly what their home is worth at all times. I mean, you need to know.
Right. And having some context, if you're going to be selling your house, you need to kind of know where you stand in the general scheme of things with the market. You know, I'll say with investments, let's just use stocks, for example. You want to know the price of a stock. There's a market, the stock market. You can go, you can see exactly what you're going to sell your stock for, but it's not quite that clear when you're selling a house, right? I mean, it's almost art and science a little bit, figuring out those valuations. How do you figure out what your home is worth?
So when you contact someone, well, a lot of people go on Zillow, and I think that's a horrible idea. I mean, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Maybe that's a starting point, but it sure as heck isn't an ending point, is it?
It is. It is a good starting point. Sometimes it gets people really excited, and then yeah. they call their realtor, and then
reality
they,
sets in.
You know, kind of a come to Jesus moment. But the realtor will comp first of all, if somebody calls me and they want to know the value of their home, I can certainly send them a report. And I always say, this is just a report. And, you know, if I haven't seen the home, there's a lot of things that play into the value. So I'm just giving them a average.
Right.
Right. Here's the low. Here's the median. Here's the high.
For your neighborhood or something.
For your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a neighborhood, you know, price per square, you're up. You know, and so that's the first step. Now, if they want to take the step further and they're really serious about purchasing the home, then that's where the meeting comes in. Yeah. And then I go inside the home. And
so you'll go in and you'll tour their house?
Absolutely. And then because before that, too, I've already run the comparables and I've looked through the other comparables online and the pictures and by description so I can compare. So when I walk in their home, I may say, oh, well,
you're on the high end or the low end.
You're either, you're definitely somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
And which is basically what an appraiser does, right? It's an opinion of value. Appraiser does the same thing, except for, you know,
they charge money for it.
That's right.
Okay. So someone has decided, okay, we're selling the house. We're moving, regardless of where they're headed. They found a realtor. And let me go back. Finding a realtor is an important part here. I see sometimes, even just in my neighborhood, the old for sale by owner, way of going. And it seems like it used to be more common, whether it was selling, you park your car on the side of the road with a for sale sign. Now that doesn't go on quite so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Is there still a whole lot of for sale by owner for real estate?
There's a few.
It seems like when I see that sign, it's up for a very long time because the house doesn't actually get sold.
Well, that's right. I mean, typically, if you're doing for sale by owner, right, you're trying to cut out all the realtor costs, all those things. And then also, typically, they do not want to take the advice, you know, of a realtor.
And like a valuation.
Typically, they're not realistic, with the value.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense because if your home isn't priced right, it doesn't sell, I imagine.
That's right. I mean, price sells. That's bottom line.
That's where that valuation comes in. So you're working with a realtor. They've taken a look at the comps. You're done the walkthrough. Okay, we're all ready to list this thing, or you're getting ready to list this thing. What about staging a home? You know, if you've watched any of the home TV shows, you'll see that, you know, you need to get it ready. Do you have to take all your personal pictures out and take half of your stuff out and go throw it in a storage unit? How does that all work?
I believe personal pictures probably should come down because, number one, I think for safety reasons.
Sure.
I mean, but more than that, you want the buyer that comes in to be able to visualize themselves in your home, and when you have a bunch of family pictures. I think you say, do I have all the homes staged? It just depends. If somebody is super cluttery, I actually have a team. I have a interior decorator and then also a gal who will go in and I'll say, look, I'll pay her $250. Please go through this house and make a list for the sellers of what they need to do to maybe just kind of unclutter a little bit.
That's great.
And take this down.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, you know, she can even go as far, if I need her to kind of do just a small staging. But the first step is to definitely
declutter. Yeah. And you find that decluttering, or even if you're not staging by putting new stuff in the house, if you're at least being mindful about what's in the house, that helps with the sale? Does it make it faster or sell for more or something along
absolutely
those lines?
Absolutely. Because I think sometimes buyers get really like overwhelmed. And when I take a buyer in a house and the house is like crazy cluttery and there's a purple wall and orange carpet, you know, I mean, you can just see their face.
I can tell you in my experience, my wife and I are very different people. And when we were looking for a home, we'd walk into something and she could envision, oh no, this will go there and we'll tear that down or we'll repaint that. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and say, oh, nothing will fit in here. I don't like the color. We're out of here. And so it seems like getting your house in order is about, not appealing to people like, but I guess to people like me who can't see themselves in it because it's so personalized or something, right?
Right. Well, and two, you have to remember, so if you walk in a house and it's a complete, you know, remodel, I mean, you're going to have to remodel it, tear out the floors right. and the wall. Okay. Well, you know,
that's different.
Different stories. You're going to have to take it as is more than likely. Yeah. Right. And,
but, do you go so far as like repainting houses and stuff that you list or changing the front yard or I don't know, you know, more substantive changes than just,
you know, moving. It depends. It really depends for me. I don't say, you know, there's a lot of things you're going to do. You're not going to get that back in the sale of your home. Yeah. Don't go and remodel your kitchen.
Yeah.
Don't, you know,
Freshen it up though. Probably
freshen it up. You know, like I said, if it's more of a foreclosure type, I mean, it's just is what it is. Well, it is what it is. And I'm like, don't do anything.
Yeah. Cause you won't get your money back.
You're not going to get your money back. But if it's a beautiful home, but really just need to declutter it a little bit and maybe, take out the pink wall and let's just put it neutral like everything else. I mean, those are really, you know, cost effective.
Yeah, because it's not a big investment, so you'll get your money back pretty easily versus redoing the kitchen, for example, right before you.
Right. You know, you want the house to smell good. You want to go. When somebody walks in, you know, that first, you know, 5 seconds.
That first wow.
You want them to say, oh.
Now, do you still have to? One of the things when we sold a house. It was about having open houses. But it's been a while since we've sold a house. Are open houses still an important part of selling a home?
You know, I believe it is. So when most realtors, so when I take a listing, I put it on Caravan. And what Caravan is, it's every Wednesday and it's put on by Fresno Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. And it's every Wednesday, usually from about 11 to 2. And you get your new listing on the Caravan.
Yeah.
And you have an open house and some people have food and, you know, all that stuff. And it's for all the brokers and realtors. And sometimes with their clients, if they think it's something their client would like, just kind of like, you know, announcing this new listing.
That's interesting, though, because I think open houses... You know, I even remember when my parents sold their house, and this was like late 80s, early 90s, I guess. It was a pain, right? Because it was an open house like every weekend. So you had to clean everything up and make sure like everything was vacuumed and then leave and find something to go do on a Saturday and Sunday for all day because you couldn't hang out in your house. So the open house stuff was tedious a bit, but it makes a lot of sense if the open house is actually for realtors where you can get. You can do an open house and it's efficient because everybody can come and take a look at it, you know? And so that's a great reason why someone might work with you to be able to kind of have that efficiency in there. Okay. So someone's house is listed. They did the Caravan thing that you've talked about. They've decluttered or staged or whatever it is they're going to do. And their home's not selling. Should they be worried? What's going on? Does it take... Do we have realistic expectations that your house is going to sell in a week? Or, you know, what if you're 30 days in and you haven't gotten a realistic offer? What's going on, you think?
Well, typically when I sit down with the listing or with the sellers, you know, you're looking at, you know, what the value of the home is, but you're also looking at days on the market. So if the typical day on the market is, you know, 20 days... And now we're hitting 30. Okay, well, that's...
Something's up.
So the first thing you want to go to is the price.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times sellers will listen to their realtor, but sometimes they don't. And they like, well, this is what you say, but we want to do this.
Right.
And so...
Or maybe financially they need to do a certain price, right? To recoup some whatever they put into the house or something along those lines.
Yeah, but, you know, that's just not realistic. You can't set up your sellers to think that they're going to, you know, get the $50,000 out of the chandelier that they put in their home.
Right.
You
absolutely.
Know. So, you know, I'll tell them that if it's worth the $50,000 for them, then they should probably take down the chandelier and replace it with
something else and then correctly price their house.
That's right. Because price does sell.
That's it.
Absolutely.
If it's not selling, it's usually because of the price then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the market dictates the price too. You know, that
hot market, higher price, lower market, lower price.
That's right. I mean, that's not true. A secret. Everybody knows, the realtor knows, the sellers know,
right.
The buyers know, and the buyer's realtor knows. I mean, it's all, and the appraisers know. I mean, it's,
well, it's not that much different. It's not much that different from the stock market even. You know, the market finds the price for you.
Right.
And so you just sometimes have to find out the hard way what you own is what it's worth. And
right.
And
I always ask the sellers to put themselves in the buyer's shoes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes the seller's selling their home. It's like now they're finding another home.
Right.
Well, so would you like it if you have to purchase the home you're buying
for more than
20% more than the market value?
Yeah. The answer is no, I imagine 100% of the time. Well, that's good. Well, I think that's really good advice. I know you do a home buyer happy hour.
Yes.
Do you do something for sellers as well? If sellers wanted to contact you and kind of chat about this, they could find you on your website?
They absolutely can. So right now, yes, we do a home buyer happy hour. I do have, we've done one. The home sellers have, I do have home sellers that attend it because sometimes they haven't bought a home in a while. So yep. They come to it, but they have to list their home and then to purchase another. Right. And they haven't purchased a home. I'm sorry. They haven't sold their home.
Right.
You know, so they can usually
people
talk
are
to
doing both,
way.
Right? They're selling theirs and
that's
buying
right.
something else.
That's right. Not everybody, you know, most people have to list contingent upon find, you know, not the everyone sale. Can carry two mortgages. you know, so, but yes, I, to answer your question, I am creating an event that will be for sellers, that it'll be kind of the, you know, for sale by owner versus hiring a realtor. And what does a realtor do? And what are the advantages of hiring a realtor? And also on that, for buyers and the sellers, I've created, you know, buyer interview processes. So,
oh, good.
You know, I'm always hoping everybody will pick me.
Yeah.
But in that, they need to sit down and interview their agents.
It's about fit.
It's right. about fit. And so I have a list of 10 questions that I give in the folders when I send them off of, you know, call your agent. You know, I'm thinking about buying or selling my home, whatever it is. Would you meet with me and sit down and say, I got a list of questions. And if they have a hard time with it, then you better walk away because when the heat comes on, they're not going to protect you and minimize risks. And that's why people hire realtors. Right. I mean, or you could do it yourself.
Right. Right. And I think those lists are really helpful actually, because even for financial advisors, I think it was a Wall Street Journal or New York Times. This was a few years back, but they did, you know, 10 things you need to ask your financial advisor, you know, and it's stuff like, how do you charge fees and are you a fiduciary? Things like that. And
Absolutely.
It's really important to shop. It's about shopping around, making sure you have a good, reputable person helping you and making sure someone's the right fit. So your goals are all aligned and everybody's moving in the
I tell, you know, like I say to the buyers, you know, I would treat it this interview like you're trying to interview someone to handle the financials in your business.
Right.
If you have an opening and are you just going to take the first person that walks in without asking them, you know, vital questions and then just have them handle your money.
Right. You got to take it seriously.
You got to take it seriously. So it's the same thing because you're talking about a valuable asset that this person, this realtor, is handling.
Yep.
And you want to make sure you hire the right person because it could all
go
up in flames.
Because a half-baked kind of effort could really be a bad experience when you're selling or buying either way, you know.
Disastrous it can be,
Well, if you're interested in learning more about this, you can find Lena on her website, Lena Fisher, LenaFisher.com. You can email Lena@LenaFisher.com, or you can call her office here in the Valley, 559-287-0021. If you are looking for those buyer interview questions, you can find those on Lena's website as well. And so, Lena, thank you for coming back. Chatting with us about the other side of things. It's always about buying or selling, whether you're doing investments or whether you're doing a real estate. It's about, you know, work. There's always both sides of the transaction, so it's important to know both. So
that's right.
Well, great. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll leave some time for disclosures. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
The advisors with Ford Financial Group are registered representatives with and securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Ford Financial Group, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Stock investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this podcast may not develop as predicted. Ford Financial Group and LPL Financial do not provide tax or legal advice or services. This information is not intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security referred to herein.